Are we ready? Can you hear us out in Zoom land? Okay, I see thumbs up, that's good. Again, welcome to the preliminary budget committee meeting tonight. I'm Spencer Neeble, city manager, and
excuse me, Spencer, I'm sorry to interrupt, but your camera needs a little adjusting. It's not the most flattering view.
Hey, Bob, that's my best part, so. Okay, so anyway, staff here tonight includes Steve Baher, who's our acting finance director. As you know, Mike Mrzinski left to take a position in the Valley back last month. And so Steve's going to be guiding us through this process this year. The good news is that Steve has been heavily involved in the budget processes in the past. The bad news is he's involved both with that and Mike's responsibilities going forward this year. So we're going to try to work our way through this as best we can to get through the budget processes. At this point, and this will kind of serve as introductions, I'll have Peggy call roll of those that are in attendance for tonight. So, Peggy.
All right. Sundman. Thank you. Schenk?
Here.
Thank you. Nelson?
Right here.
Thank you. Lovis?
Here.
Thank you. Curtin?
Here.
Thank you. Johnson?
Present.
Thank you. Berman?
Here.
Thank you. Kaplan?
Here.
Thank you. Jacoby?
Here.
Paul?
Here.
Goble?
Here.
And I believe we are missing Boteo. Parker said he might be late.
Yeah, Boteo asked to be excused from this meeting.
Okay, so Boteo and Sawyer won't be here and Parker will be late.
Okay, so again, welcome to the preliminary meeting. In your packet, I'm going to run through a preliminary meeting here to again describe the purposes of the of this meeting and the role that the budget committee will be playing going forward. And as you know, the budget committee is something required by Oregon law, and the budget committee must consist of an equal number of elected officials and citizens appointed for the purpose of reviewing the proposed budget, which will be prepared and provided to the budget committee towards the end of April of this year. The budget committee will meet in three meetings to go through the budget processes and then ultimately recommend an approved budget to the city council. And also the budget committee establishes the tax rate for this year. So those are the responsibilities that the budget committee will have through this process. Again, tonight is a preliminary meeting of the budget committee, and again, under state budgeting law, this meeting is strictly a procedural meeting. We can talk a little bit about financial trends, kind of review where we're at financially at this point in the city. We can talk about the processes and procedures that we'll use to go forward with reviewing the budget. But we can't really talk about the budget itself at the preliminary meeting. That'll start with the first meeting that'll be coming up in April. Again, since all positions are filled on the budget committee, we'll be able to go forward and elect a chair for the budget committee this year at the end of this meeting. That chair then will chair the three meetings coming forward for the budget committee. We've included a number of materials in your information regarding the budget process. And for those that have requested hard copies, we've got a binder that you'll be adding additional materials to as we go through the budget process. a number of you have elected to go through this with the electronic documents going forward. Some of the things that are included in here is the accounting system that we use with the various funds and accounts. We've got the closure of the last fiscal year. Those numbers are in here for your review. We have the six or the 7 months of this current fiscal year, kind of where we're at for the current fiscal year. We've also included the five-year financial sustainability plan that was adopted by the council in March of last year. And that report identifies various parameters for expenditure levels and revenue options. And we've done a preliminary update of some of the projections, and we'll talk about that a little later as well. We also have included the council goals, the draft goals that the council will be holding a public hearing on Monday, March 7th for your review as well. So again, there's going to be three budget meetings. The first will be Tuesday, April 26th at 5 p.m. The second one will be Tuesday, May 17th at 5 p.m. And the third meeting will be Tuesday, May 24th at 6 p.m. Based on the council's anticipated actions on the 7th, based on the discussion that we had before, meetings after April 4th will be held in person with a hybrid option for folks. So we anticipate that the three budget meetings will be held here in the council chambers, and if someone needs to patch in, we'll have the ability to patch them in remotely. The other things included in the packet are the minutes from last year for your review. Those will be approved at the first meeting of next year. But the process that we've utilized in the past that has really worked pretty effectively for reviewing the budget documents is what we're proposing to do this year. At the first meeting, it'll be a comprehensive review of the budget. It's kind of a page-by-page review. Any budget committee member during the page-by-page review will be able to say, I think we should add this to the budget. I think we should take this out of the budget. And we don't debate it. We don't discuss it at that first meeting. We just list it. And we'll develop a list of items that for the second meeting, then we'll bring back a summary report on those items that were identified as a potential change to the budget for the full budget committee to consider. And that second meeting then is really working to reconcile the proposed budget with the budget that the budget committee is going to be ultimately approving. The third meeting then is we'll package all those changes together, put those together, and the third meeting is the actual approval of the budget. The first two meetings are going to be long meetings. They typically will last about 4 hours each. We will provide you with a low-cost dinner here at City Hall to fuel you through the budget processes, and we'll work through that time period. So those meetings will run probably from 5 to 9 is what the typical time has been for those two meetings. Last meeting will start at 6 o'clock. That typically can be wrapped up in an hour or so, unless there's other issues that we have to address in that last meeting. Again, the budget package information will be available online. The actual delivery date for the budget is April. I had that date here just so we'll get the budget to you about a week prior to the first meeting and go from there. The other thing is we do have four new members to the budget that'll be going through the budget process for the first time this year. And what I would like to do is set up a time before the budget review begins with the four committee members to just sit down, kind of do an orientation process so that that you know how you can potentially suggest changes to the budget and how that process will work going forward, and to answer any questions you may have about about the budget process or the budget or those our financial accounting system or fund accounting, various things that we have to work with as a governmental entity. And so before we get to the end of the meeting, we'll talk about whether the four new people on the committee would like to do that prior to the receiving the budget or immediately after receiving the budget. But we can do it either in mid-April or early April, or we can do it right after the budget is out so that you can have that in your hands when we meet. So we can talk about that at the end. So give that some thought about what would work for you on that. The other thing is Steve Bauer has sent out the links. I don't know if anyone's had a chance to take advantage of that, but the Department of Revenue does a pretty extensive tutorial on Oregon budget law. And if you haven't had a chance to look at that, the first link is really on kind of the role of the budget committee. And they usually do a pretty good job of explaining that. Steve will send those links out again, and it might be beneficial if you take a peek at that to understand what Oregon law requires the budget committee to do in their responsibilities and what it requires us to do as a governmental entity to put together a legal budget. So that's kind of a quick introduction to the budget process. Are there any general questions at this point on that? Yes, Diane?
Were we supposed to receive something? Because I was just looking through my stuff, my emails, and I don't have anything. I mean, I had a notice of the meeting. I have the links and all that. But were you supposed to email us something or?
Yeah, the actual, did you see the full agenda packet for tonight's meeting? Okay.
I don't think I got it. I'm looking and I don't think I got it.
Yeah, it should have come from Steve Bauer.
In an email there.
In an email that would have been sent out on Thursday.
Yeah, I believe Thursday. Yep.
Did you email it to her now, Steve?
Yeah, I emailed it. I think it was on Thursday.
Can you email it again?
Sure, let me turn
right now.
Yeah, who did others get the link for the meeting? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I thought we might have had a fundamental problem here, but Steve will send that out for those that didn't get it. But yeah, the entire packet for tonight's meeting is there. The other thing is we've had a number of people request hard copies of the budget materials, and those are available at the finance department. We had a few people pick them up, but again, if you had requested a hard copy, it's waiting for you in the finance department. So if you can swing by and pick that up, that would be great. So let me know, Diane, if you
have to
find that. Yeah, go ahead, Jen.
You have to request it, or do they have extra copies there?
We might have one or two extra copies.
Yeah. So, and if we don't, we'll make you one. So if you weren't on the original request list, so, Jen, if you want a hard copy, come in and pick that up. We use the same binder through the entire process, so you just keep on adding material to it to get through the budget process. Are there any other general questions? And Diane, are you finding that email at all, or?
It looks like it went out on the 24th of February.
Okay, I'll check that, and then I'll be, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Okay. Any other general questions at this point? Yeah, Bob?
Yeah, well, just a comment about the agenda and stuff. The agenda, when you do see it, will be a page or two or three, and then there'll be lots of links in there to documents off of the server, and so it'd be a download. So you would need a pretty good internet connection to work with these documents. Mm-hmm. I tend
I
to go
it.
Through the entire document mm-hmm. and download everything at once and make a single very long document with bookmarks, and then that makes it much easier for me to reference back and forth between documents.
Okay, but anyway, Dan, it sounds like you've got it now, which is good, but that's the way this will come to you in the next packets as well. And if you again want a hard copy, finance will have those for you, and some people do real well electronically with the budget. Some people prefer paper with the budget, and so whatever whatever way you would like it, we'll certainly try to provide that. So, again, any other general introductory questions regarding kind of the process? I think this process works relatively well to get through a extensive document and give kind of maximum opportunity to bring up issues and have those issues vetted by the budget committee, with the budget committee then making a decision by a majority vote as to whether modifications will be made to the budget on those items. And it gets us through this process, I think, in a reasonable way. The next item that was included on your agenda, it's for reference for tonight, they'll be approved at the first meeting, and that's the 2021 budget committee minutes. And again, we'll have the budget committee approve those at the first meeting. You may want to look at them to get an idea of how the meetings were structured last time for those that didn't participate in the budget process last year. The next are the pre-meeting topics for the budget committee, and that's again what the state allows us to do at this meeting for your information. If you wanted to review that. But I'm going to turn it over to Steve at this point, unless there's any other questions, to talk a little bit about the next five items, government accounting, the statement of revenues, expenses, and so on. So, Steve, if you would take over, and I think we'll do a little screen sharing here. So,
yeah, so the first document I'll kind of go over quickly is it's a part of the agenda packet, so you can also see it there. It's a little letter that kind of explains our current how we're kind of set up as a government. It's called government accounting here, and so we have pretty much two different types of funds: government funds and enterprise funds. So the government funds is more of the public sector. That'd be our general fund and some of our special revenue funds. And those are more funded with like property taxes and et cetera, more of the, and so we, can't remember how many we have. But the general fund, that would be the rec center, airport fund, those type of funds would be in that particular category. And then the other funds we have are called proprietary funds. And those are more of our enterprise funds. So most of those funds, they generate fees, which cover their budgeted expenses. So that'd be like the water fund, sewer fund, stormwater fund. And then we have a couple of, and so those kind of makes up the proprietary funds. Then we do have there's the general funds, in case you're wondering there. And also we do have some debt funds. And so those are the funds that, pay our debt, and they're broken out between the like water, wastewater, governmental, and then we have some reserve funds. So the reserve funds, what we use those for is to kind of save up money for particular projects that typically are more multi-year, more than 1 year, and so we usually have a reserve fund for like the police department, fire department, etc. So that way, if they have some, say one of the fire engines breaks, they have some reserve money where they can actually pay for a new fire engine. And so that's where those are. And then we have a couple internal service funds, and those funds kind of support the other funds. So we have one for the Public Works Fund and City Facilities Fund. So the City Facilities Fund would cover like all the general maintenance of the buildings and utilities and those type of expenses. Oh, and also we have the urban renewal mixed in there too. So the next section kind of just gives a real brief description of all of the expense accounts that we use. And so I'll let you peruse that later, but generally like the 5,000 series is for all our payroll related expenses. Then the 6,000 series would be for all the other expenses like utilities, equipment, maintenance, insurance, etc. And so, but I'll let you read through that later on at your convenience. And then we typically have the 7,000 series, and so that would be for major capital purchases, like buildings, vehicles, etc. And then the 8,000 series is where we pay all our mortgages and principal interest. And then the 9,000 series is when we do transfers between funds. For instance, like the general fund would transfer money to the debt fund to pay for the mortgage payments. That's a real quick summary of that particular document.
Yeah, I think one thing with governmental accounting that's important to note is that you know, we have a city budget, but in reality, it's a series of city budgets for these different funds. And again, those funds that are supported solely by special revenues, like water, sewer, storm sewer, those are treated in a different way than the governmental funds. And so anyway, just I think being aware that there are multiple funds that you're going to be reviewing as you go through this budget process is kind of the key issue to be aware of at this particular point in time. Any questions on the financial accounting process? And if you do have a question, since I can only see a few folks, speak up so that we can make sure we get those questions answered. Hearing none, we can move on to the next section here.
Okay, so the next section is from our audited financial statements. So I pulled quite a few of the funds just for that compare budget to actual. So I'll kind of explain the formatting. So the format is on the top of the form, you'll have what the fund is. Like in this instance, it's the general fund. And then it'll have the original budget that was adopted, and then any supplemental budgets are in the final budget document, so those would include the supplementals. And then the next column is the actual. So these were the actual expenses for this particular fiscal year. And then the last column shows the variance between the final budget and the actual. And so you can see it'll list, each fund will list its revenues, like in this case, property taxes in the first section. And then the next section will give you a breakdown of the expenses. And typically, they'll break it down by an actual department. So in this case, we have city administration, police, fire, emergency coordinator, et cetera. And so you can see what their budget was, what their actual was, and then what their difference was in that regard. And one thing to note here that kind of confuses a few people is there's a line item called contingency. And so this is basically a contingency fund in case something, some emergency or something happens during the year where we need to reallocate appropriations from contingency to like the police department. Say something came up where they were going to overspend on their budget because something important came up. So we'll usually do a supplemental to move it from contingency to fire. So, but the actual is always zero because we never really actually spend that money. So that's why you always see a quite a bit of an overage on the budget side. But that number, what'll eventually happen, it'll once the year completes, it'll actually roll up into the ending fund or the beginning fund balance or the ending fund balance in that regard.
Steve?
Yep.
Steve? Quick question. On quite a few of these lines, a better way to look at it potentially might be percentage as opposed to fixed amount. Could there be another column here, the variance in dollars and the variance in percentage?
We do include a percentage in the monthly recaps that are sent to City Council, but these are audited statements, so they pretty much have a pretty set format that that you have to kind of follow, especially if you want to get the award for the annual comprehensive financial report, which we typically try to go for every year. So they have a specific format that they require you to use. Hopefully that answers your question.
Well, it answers the question. The answer, I don't think, is satisfactory, but that's okay.
Okay. Yes, so then towards the bottom there, it'll show you what the beginning fund balance was, both for budget and actual, and then what the ending fund balance was at the end of June 30th, 2021. So I'll let you kind of peruse the rest of the funds, but like you can see, we have one for each particular fund type, like urban renewal, capital projects, et cetera. I think, is that?
Yeah, okay. Just to note, in the general fund, the single biggest variance really was what we were anticipating generating in transient room tax because of COVID and what we actually received. You can see almost $1 million variance on the positive side in that particular case, and that gets folded into contingency, and then that got folded into fund balance. So the general fund, because of higher than anticipated revenues, we had some additional federal CARES Act money that affected this fiscal year as well. Our expenses were generally under budgeted amounts, again, because of a fairly high vacancy rate we currently have in various positions in the city. So we're ending the fiscal year. We ended that last fiscal year in a pretty strong position in the general fund.
Excuse me, I wanted to ask where personnel is reflected. Are there FTEs listed somewhere?
Yeah, there will be. You'll be seeing that. It's in the current budget on the FTEs, and we can show you where you can find that in the current budget. I don't think we have that in this, in the preliminary budget, but you will see it in the proposed budget going forward when you get that in April.
And I also do a 10-year history of FTEs too, so that'll be part of the future documents.
Any other questions on this at this point? Okay. Steve.
Next one here.
Section.
So the next section is our current financials, and you and council members probably see this on a monthly basis. So, and it's kind of pretty much the same format. Again, it'll have the adopted budget, amended budget, and it has the current month's activity, year-to-date activity, budget remaining. And then this one does give you a percentage. So if you look at the top, and there's one for each fund again also in these reports. So if you look at the top, we were at 7 months, which was 58.33% of the year. And then you can kind of compare that against these percentages here to kind of see where we're at. And just to kind of forewarn you too, especially on the expense side, a lot of times a lot of the expenses are paid upfront, like our general insurance. And so the percentage will be quite a bit higher than than the average for the year. So just so that you're aware of that, they typically even out towards the end of the year. And so in this case, you can see, again, it has the revenues, expenditures. And then it'll have the beginning and ending fund balance. So the beginning balance was the beginning fund balance as of July 1st of 2021. And the ending fund balance, this is as of January 31st, 2022, when the statement was prepared, the monthly statement was prepared. So I think that's a quick review of the
we're sitting pretty fat with the ending fund balance, Spencer. What have you been doing?
We receive our property taxes early on, so we received 96% of our property taxes. So it makes the ending fund balance look pretty good.
Yeah, I think the other thing too to note when you're looking at these percentages, for example, if you look under mayor and council, you can see that's 81% spent. But what happens is there's a number of key expenses like our Michigan Municipal League dues and these sorts of things that come out of that line item in July of each year. So some funds, especially the smaller funds, can be skewed quite a bit based on the timing of when certain payments are made for them. Same thing is true with the property taxes. Again, we've got, you know, over 90% of our property taxes are sitting with us. That draws down as we go through the course of the fiscal year, and so that's why it looks pretty strong right now, but that's in reality, you know, we don't have any more taxes coming in, so we have to live off those for the balance of the fiscal year.
And yeah, and so in your packet, you'll see one for each funds. Like in this case, this is the recreation fund, public parking fund, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll let you kind of peruse those on your own there a little bit. So I think that's pretty much it for this section then. So
okay. We had the attachment on the showing the budget amendments through the course of this year as well, which this information here, Steve.
Yep.
Okay.
So so this one here. What this one kind of shows is a spreadsheet that shows our original budget, and then it's showing what supplementals that we've had so far year to date. So in this case, we've had three supplementals. One was for the URA, and then two were for the city. And it kind of gives you a brief synopsis of what funds were changed in terms of the appropriation. And a lot of the initial adjustments are once we have the audited financial statements done, we know what the true beginning fund balances are. So a lot of these adjustments are due to that regard, where we're adjusting our beginning fund balance to match actual in that regard. So that's kind of what this does. And again, it's broken down by fund again, and just gives you a real summarized view of all the supplementals that we've had year to date.
And the majority of the supplementals are at the end of the year, we have to adjust fund balances in all of our funds based on actuals versus what we were projecting. And that's is the majority of amendments that are made by the council during the course of the year initially. And then there are, in some cases, very specific things that occur. For example, the city received $1.2 million in ARPA funding in the general fund this year, and so that's again reflected in the budget as a budget amendment, reflecting that we received those funds that were not anticipated at the time the budget was approved. Any questions on this document at all? A document in your packet is the 10-year revenues, so you can take a look at what kind of trends the city has had in various revenues over the past decade. Again, that's a good informational document when you're looking at what we're projecting going forward in the future. Anything else on that, Steve?
No, I think that pretty much sums it up.
The other documents that we have here is relating to the policies that the council has adopted for the various financial policies. And one is a resolution adopting a policy regarding a city's reserves. And when you get the budget, there'll be a report that we will go through on that to show, again, where the proposed budget is at and what the targeted reserves are for the various funds. And if you dig into that document in the towards the back of the page, it outlines what should be provided in contingency and unexpended fund balance and reserve for future expenditures in each of the types of funds that we have. So that's one policy that we will respond to as we go forward with the council. And then the second we utilize reserve funds, and there's a resolution that'll be approved by the council as part of the budget process, outlining which reserve funds are going to be established during the course of the year. And again, that specifically outlines where we do have reserve funds established for the city.
Spencer, were you going to talk at all about item 5F? You seem to skip that.
Yep, I am going to do that, and and I'm operating a little bit from a manual standpoint, and so I apologize for skipping that one because that's an important one. So, so on the financial projections of the City Council, in conjunction with the members of the Budget Committee and members of the Audit Committee, spent 3 years taking a look at various expenditures. And the first year was really to develop you know, an understanding of where the city was heading 5 years down the road from a financial standpoint based on the existing revenues and expenditures. And developed the focus of that was really developing a tool to have annual projections looking 5 years out in that for that purpose. The second issue is the second year, then they identified kind of a menu of potential things that we could do to reduce expenditures, increase revenues, and really discuss kind of the gamut of issues that we were looking at. They also identified a reduction that was accomplished by the City Council of reducing our general fund expenditures by $1 million in that year, and so that was what was done there. The third year is it generated the report that's attached in your materials called the preliminary 5-year forecast for financial projections, and. That report, if you haven't had a chance to go through that, it would be very beneficial for you to go through that to take a look at kind of what the City Council was looking at in March of last year in regards to the financial projections and ways to address making sure that we can financially sustain those funds that were primarily focusing on the general fund and the funds supported by the general fund. One of the things that and Steve, if you can put up the general fund chart so that we can kind of work our way through this so people understand what they're...
Probably the 131 one then, or?
Yeah, the one based on current trends. Okay. Be the first one in the...
Yeah, so this is the current projections.
Yeah, so this is the general fund, and if you look through the numbers, it'll be easier to do when you have a chance to go through there. There's various assumptions that were based on historic trends that we use for how fast property taxes would grow, for example, how fast room taxes would grow, and kind of working down the list of items both on a revenue standpoint and then looking at expenditures. Trying to assume some growth of expenditures going forward and pushing that out to the 2026-27 fiscal year. So if you look at the bottom of the chart that Steve is showing, this is a general fund, and with the strong financial position we've had with the general fund due to a number of things, including the ARPA funding, revenues coming in stronger than what were anticipated, the blue line is showing the trend line. If we continue spending at the same level as we are spending with inflationary increases in it, and our revenues are coming in based on the revenue structures that are currently in place. So if you look at the general fund in this particular situation, you can see that during the next 5 years, if we don't increase our expenditures or decrease our revenues, the general fund is operating more than a break-even basis going forward through the period of time that we're looking at. Now, one of the things that we haven't been doing is, and Steve, if you can find the other general fund scenario, but one of the things that we have not been doing, and it's been identified in the financial plan, is we have not been reinvesting at a sufficient rate to keep our facilities in shape, and that's ranging from facilities like City Hall or the Rec Center, the Performing Arts Center, Visual Arts Center, the Boardwalk, all these various structures that are supported by the general fund, the restrooms that we have. And the report that we have is we really need to be looking at investing about $1 million a year in those facilities. If we provide that full investment, then this is kind of what happens to those two lines if we were making that level of investment in our facilities to keep them viable and serving the public. And so the projection tool has been a really handy thing for us to have to understand that if we, for example, add a position or add positions now, we can project out what the cost of that's going to be over the period of time here, and what impact is that going to have on our fund balance, and does that keep us in target, or does it not keep us in target? And as you can see, without any additional revenue in this in the general fund and adding the necessary investment to keep our facilities up to snuff, we end up falling short as we get a few years down the road here. And so when we put the budget together, we're going to be, and Steve and I, before we put the budget together, we're going to be reviewing the various assumptions, because there's a lot of things that have changed since we've incorporated the assumptions into this model. And we're assuming a relatively low rate of inflation. We're assuming, pay adjustments of 2% a year with some marginal increase for people that are going from one step to another. So I think we use an average of 2.5% adjustment on pay through these projections. We're going to be taking a look at those based on current conditions, and we may be changing some of those assumptions. The question is whether the inflation that we're dealing with now is a blip, or whether that's going to be something that's going to be impacting us going forward. We do know that construction costs have gone up, for the past couple years in the 6 to 7% a year range, and so again, we don't know if that's going to be a continued trend or not, but we'll update our assumptions here, and we'll be providing this updated data in conjunction with what we're proposing for the budget for the Budget Committee's review when you receive the budget later in April. And so again, if you're looking at these lines, the blue line is the trend for the fund. The red line is the targeted balance that we should have in that fund. And if you get down below the numbers there, then you've gone below zero, which is not a good place to be. So the other thing is, as you look through these projections, we obviously have some work to do with our utility funds as part of this year's budget, so we'll be looking at those. But the projection tool has been very handy to understand that if you add a position or if you add positions, what impact is that going to have over the five-year period? Capital outlay is a little simpler, because unless you're adding a new facility that is going to require maintenance, typically the capital outlay expenses are a one-year expense, and what's that spent? Your operational costs aren't as impacted, unless it's, again, something new that we're developing or opening. So any questions on the projections? Oops, Carol, are you... Yeah, you're muted, Carol.
There we go.
Oops, yeah, there you go.
Remuting.
You know why that is? There anything on our end?
Shift Command A.
There it
goes. There
we go.
Okay. Is there calculated into the assumption of doing no maintenance that there would be an increasing loss in revenue if our facilities are all unpleasant and falling apart? Is that included, that people aren't going to want to come here and stay at our hotels if our boardwalk is falling apart and if our visual arts center has leaks? And I'm just wondering if that's included in the revenue projection?
Yeah, not in these projections. We do have some forecasts that were done. if we don't make this investment for another 5 years, what the cost of that investment's going to grow basis instead of doing it on an, you know, on an annual basis. But yeah, none of our projections are projecting the potential closure of a facility because it's no longer viable, or you know, the impact that you know problems have with our facilities.
I guess I meant like the impact on the other sources of income, like the impact on tourism. If everything, if the city looks dumpy, you know, is that going to make people not come stay in our hotels and that kind of thing?
Yeah, from our projection tool, that's not a consideration in there. Again, that would be, you know, yeah, I'm not even sure how we would try to project that, but it is a fact that if our facilities are not, you know, desirable to go to, that's going to impact, you know, traffic into the community and use of those facilities, so. Other questions on the projections? Okay, so anyway, on the on these, take a look at them, and certainly for those that haven't seen these before, when we get together with the newly appointed folks, we can talk a little more about how they were structured and how we can use them going forward. And it allows us to do, when we're working with the budget committee, some what-if scenarios for the budget committee's review of how certain financial decisions could impact the longer range fund balance for our operational funds. So.
I think you have a question.
Oh, who had a question? Oh, Steve?
I recall reading someplace in the big binder that when the original budgets were done for, say, the Aquatic Center, the capital reinvestment or major maintenance items was not projected. In the projections we receive in the budget, will those line items be included?
Yeah, I think you know, one of the issues that that we have certainly spent more time on is if we're doing something that is going to be creating a new service, we are projecting those things out, including you know various operational costs and so on to the best of our ability. And so that's, I think, been something that we definitely have gotten a little more sophisticated in how we do that. So I'm not anticipating in this budget coming up any major new operations or facilities, but if there were, we would project that, you know, project those long-term costs out with this projection tool.
Thank you.
Any other questions on the projections? Yeah, on the projections too, I just want to give Steve a lot of kudos on pulling this thing together. It's a very sophisticated tool. It actually, you know, for any employee that we add, it factors in all the various steps that they're going to receive during the periods of time that are here. It factors in all the health benefits, all the benefits that are impacted by wages. So it's a pretty sophisticated tool that we're using, and I think it's definitely, you know, with last year's budget and certainly going forward with this year, it's going to be a very useful tool to understand what impacts our decisions today will make farther down the road.
Hey, Spencer, on that, is there a way to project future costs to the water and sewer funds for bonded projects like dam construction? Because I think that's going to be a huge budgetary issue coming up in the next few years. I just wondered if there's a way to include that in this formulation of what we're looking at down the road.
Yeah, there is, and we do have, we've run some very preliminary numbers, you know, depending on what level of local share is necessary with the dam. And that's something that we can incorporate a little bit of that discussion in the budget materials that we send to the budget committee. It's not necessarily something that's going to have a direct impact on this next year's budget, but understanding the long-term impact of that is going to be pretty important.
If we cover all the pre-construction costs ourselves, which is a big lift for the city, we're still looking at a high burden of what the federal government will pony up. And so I have a sinking suspicion that future council members, I'm looking at here in the Hollywood Squares boxes, are going to have to figure out a way to not fully burden the rate holders, but have that as a component, because, you know, this project really needs all sails unfurled, and we really need to look at a public-private partnership for some of the high-end water users that are private companies or corporations, to also figure out ways to assure their future higher draw water supplies through that dam and that higher impoundment.
Yeah, no, the Big Creek Dam is a major project that's, I think, even though we don't have the exact impacts on us now, we need to know what the range of those impacts could be as we're considering decisions, you know, for this budget and budgets beyond this budget as well. Any other questions on the projections?
Yeah. In general, I know there have been a lot of unfilled positions, even budgeted unfilled positions. How is that being handled on the projections? Or is it assumed they are all going to be filled on July 1st, or there's some space out of filling those positions, or how do you handle unfilled positions?
Yeah,
Steve. Yeah. So right now, the financial projection, I have an area where I can put a vacancy rate. Right now, I'm using 5% in the projections, as 5% of the positions are vacant, and I can actually tweak that up or down depending on what we want to see.
Yep. So we do have the capability of doing that across all funds. So.
Right, but it's not based on an individual position that has been budgeted but hasn't been filled.
Correct.
No, yeah,
it's based on a sort of a general. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Hey, Spencer.
Yes, D-Mark.
Is this the program that we've been talking about? You getting activated?
Yeah. This used to be what we call the Almsville projection tool, yeah, which is now the Newport projection tool. So.
And that's all been populated and working on?
Yeah, this is what you're seeing in these documents is what it's producing, and it really has been beneficial for labor negotiations. For example, we've run those numbers in there, and we can get some pretty sophisticated impacts out of this tool. So it's.
Can you give the budget committee a demonstration of how that works, Spencer, when we get to it?
We can try to do that briefly. Again, we've got 4-hour meetings, for the review. So we want to be careful about how we use the time. But if there's an interest in the budget committee to see that, we might be able to do a really condensed example of how it works. So,
I mean, just even if you demonstrate in the program, buy a new cop car, for instance, what does that mean to the budget?
Yep, we can show how that works. We can show how adding positions works. And what we had in here is a general fund without investing $1 million a year in the facilities, and what happens to that if we invest $1 million a year in the general fund in our facilities. And you can see the big difference that makes over the 5 years of the projections. So, yeah, we can do a little demonstration for the budget committee.
Steve, did you populate that program? Is that your wizardry?
Yeah. It took me quite a bit of time, but yeah, I finally got it up and running there. So,
congratulations! Yeah, I'm happy to see it working.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, any other questions on the financial projections? I think we've got a good tool, and it'll be something that we'll be utilizing in our budget processes for this year. And we started using it last year with the budget, and it was a very, very useful thing to have. So, I think, and Bob, correct me if I'm wrong. Bob keeps me on task here. I think we're to the city council goals for the 2022-23 year. Again, these are the draft goals. We've received comments from the 2040 Vision Committee. We've received comments. We will be receiving comments from the Planning Commission. that reviewed that as well. We've included them in the packet for any for reference by the budget committee members, and it can certainly answer any questions that the budget committee may have on the goals process. But the annual goals are set by council after a goal setting a session, and they're basically objectives and goals for the next year. What I will be doing as part of the budget message is responding to each of these objectives that were outlined to let the budget committee know how they've been addressed in the upcoming budget. That will mean either they've been funded, or if they haven't been funded, I'll explain why. And that's when we go through that process, if the budget committee feels that something not funded should be funded, we have a process for incorporating that into the budget that would be approved by the budget committee. So so again, not planning to go through those in detail, but if there's any general questions on the goals and how they play into the budget process, certainly can answer those questions. Okay. Then I think we are, again, we talked about the meeting dates. The first meeting of the budget committee will be Tuesday, April 26th at 5 p.m. Again, that's going to be a long meeting. That'll be about a four-hour meeting. Second meeting is Tuesday, May 17th at 5 p.m. Again, that will be a long meeting. And again, just at that first meeting, we're going to be asking the budget committee members to identify any issues that you would think should consider potentially be changed in the proposed budget. At the second meeting, we're going to have a report on each of those items and have the budget committee then make a determination as to whether you want to make a change to the proposed budget on that item or not. And then the third meeting is kind of the final approval of the budget and the tax levy that will be made by the budget committee. The budget then goes to the city council, and the city council will review it. City council has the authority to make any further changes prior to adopting the budget, which is scheduled to be adopted at the third Monday in June, and that meets the criteria for the budget process that's outlined by the state of Oregon. So those are the key dates coming up, so please block those dates. We are planning to do those as in-person meetings in council chambers, and so, again, if someone needs to participate virtually, we'll have that opportunity for them. But generally, these will be in-person meetings after the 4th of April. Is the direction that we're heading on that. So any questions on the meeting dates and meeting times?
Ryan, I have a question.
Yeah, Ryan?
Can you guess what my question will be? So, Spencer, how would you characterize the fund balance of the meal allotment?
there are sufficient funds to adequately provide a meal for the budget committee members at the first two meetings, but not the third meeting. So,
April 26th and May 17th, someone will give us options to support a local restaurateur and also have some sustenance.
We will certainly get a menu out and have folks select what they need for that menu. So,
excellent.
The next thing we have to deal with tonight is the election of a budget committee chair and secretary, and we can do that tonight. And typically, we've done it by nominations. And so, at this point, I would open up nominations of members to serve as the budget committee chair.
I'd like to nominate Bob Berman, the chairperson.
Yep. Now that's not fair. I was about to nominate you.
I think you'd do a great job, Bob.
So, well, I don't, with all due respect, I really appreciate it, but my job as secretary is almost full time, and I'd prefer to stay with that.
So Bob, did you want to make a nomination?
Yes, I would like to nominate Michael Curtin for the position of chair of the budget committee.
Mike, do you have an excuse why not to serve?
I may miss one of the meetings, actually the last meeting. So that would be a potential issue.
Yeah, and the last meeting is probably the, if you had to miss one meeting, that would be the one to miss, because that's kind of a pro forma meeting typically. So, and perhaps you can talk Bob into chairing that meeting in your absence as secretary. So are you willing to do that, Bob? If
fair enough.
Okay. So are there any other nominations for chair? Cynthia?
I wanted to second that nomination of Michael Curtin for chair.
Okay.
Don't think you need to second it.
Are there any other nominations? Hearing none. And for the new members, Michael has chaired the meeting. You did last year. Has it been for 2 years or?
Just 1 year.
1 year. Okay. And he got through the process, and we had a budget, so that speaks well for his chairing responsibilities. But if there are no other nominations, maybe Cynthia, you can make the motion to close nominations and appoint Michael as chair.
Okay.
Unanimous.
I make a motion to close the nominations and appoint Michael Curtin as.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
By CM?
Second. Yep.
Okay. A motion's been made by Jacoby, seconded by Hall. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Well, congratulations, Michael. You have, democracy has prevailed.
does that mean Bob's secretary again? We didn't.
Well, we have to do that now. Are there any nominations for secretary?
I nominate Bob.
Can I be the budget committee shaman?
we'll talk about that a little later, Ryan. So there's been a nomination for Bob for secretary. Are there any other nominations? Hearing none, is there a motion to close nominations and elect Bob as secretary of the budget committee?
I move to, Cynthia, go for it.
I'll make a motion to close nominations and appoint Bob Berman as our secretary.
Second.
Motion been made by Jacoby, seconded by Parker. Any discussion? And Bob, you are willing to maintain your responsibilities as secretary?
If I can figure out what they are, I will certainly maintain those responsibilities.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed, and you're elected, Bob, for another year as our secretary. So,
thank you all very much. It's a great honor.
Just one last.
Doing a great job, Bob.
Well, actually, Bob does go above and beyond the role of secretary, so he's done some fine editing in the past, my budget message, and I appreciate that. So the last thing I wanted to touch on before public comment is for the new members of the budget committee, is there a preference to meet before you receive the proposed budget, or do you want to meet immediately after you receive the proposed budget for an orientation session? So, Steve, you have a preference?
I really don't, to be honest with you, because I don't know the ramifications of having a document in advance or not having a document in advance. So I would take counsel from other committee members on what they thought or what you thought would be the better time to meet, because I really, it's hard to, pick.
Personally, I think
it'd be helpful, Spencer. I think it'd be helpful to have it before the budget, before they get the budget, and then you can kind of talk to them about all the different funds and all the different aspects of the budget. Because you get that big binder, it's confusing as hell,
And you can use the current budget as examples of the kinds of changes we made and those kinds of things.
Yeah. So it sounds like from a budget committee member, they feel there's some value of doing it ahead of the receiving the budget, so that when you receive that, you're understanding what you're looking at. So, Diane, are you in agreement with that?
Sure. I think Steve said it beautifully. I would like to take counsel from those who've served on the budget. So yeah, I think that's great.
Okay. Carol, you're comfortable with that? And then Jan, you're good with that as well?
I'm fine with it.
Okay.
Yes.
And so what we'll do is we'll set up a orientation session for the new members that will include Michael, if you're available, as chair, and then Steve and myself to kind of run through things and give you a chance to ask questions about the process or about what you're looking at. And that doesn't preclude an opportunity after you receive the budget, you know, for any one-on-one discussions before the first meeting as well. So we'll set that up prior to getting the budget, so that that we give you a good head start when you get the budget, you understand what you're looking for and how the process will play out. So, yes, Diane.
Could I just add one thing? I'm really glad, Steve, that you sent out the information from the state. And in fact, tomorrow morning, I think it's a 2 or 3 hour session. I could only attend one of the sessions, but there were three of them, but I'm going to attend one tomorrow just to get familiar with how governmental accounting works.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to thank you for doing that.
And I think the first session is probably the most pertinent, I believe, Steve.
If you check the website again, they're actually going to record the first two sessions. So you could actually go back and watch the first two sessions.
Okay. Any other questions at this point before we go to public comment?
Excuse me, Spencer. There's another item in there for committee member comment.
Oh, very good. Thank you. That's why Bob's secretary. That's a good responsibility. Keeps us on task here. So, let's start with budget committee comments first, and then we'll go to public comment after that. Any general comments from the budget committee at this particular point in time? Yeah, Bob?
Yeah, as we went through the budget and as it was approved, there were several items that I would appreciate seeing some feedback on that we talked about at great length at the same time as we get the budget, if possible, even before. There, I know, is in progress a Parks and Rec business plan. It's been requested for many years, and I think it may finally exist, and I'd love to see it. What exactly happened with mine and David Allen's idea of these small nonprofit grants that we approved this last year? Were they granted and to whom and for how much? And some accounting on how the $200,000+ of homeless funds were distributed.
Okay, we'll certainly address that in the...
And the only other thing...
Jeff, go ahead.
Excuse me, there was one more about the finance department identifying areas where collection of fees can be improved, all that fees, and there was some discussion about being a little more aggressive about collecting fines and fees. There was supposed to be a report to the council in November of 2021. I didn't follow the council agenda enough to know whether that happened, but I'd love to see that report.
Okay. Any other general questions, comments from the budget committee members? Seeing none, we'll go to public comment. And public comment was added to the agenda for the things we received today. And we've had one request to read one public comment from Mike Seidow. And Mike is a former budget committee member.
All right. So Michael Seidow sent a request that the following be read during the public comment session of tonight's budget meeting. Michael is a Newport resident. Before going into any public comments for the budget meeting, I want to first congratulate the mayor, city councilors, and city administration on the creation of the 2022-2023 draft goals. In my opinion, this is a great set of goals, and I believe you should all be proud of the quality work done by all to create this excellent document. Once the goals are finalized, I would request that the city council consider having the city administration provide an update on status to the city council on a regular basis. For example, every 2 months or 6 times a year. I believe that this would aid the city council to better monitor progress to the goals. Now for the public comments for the upcoming series of budget meetings. I request that this budget committee explicitly consider during the appropriate meetings going back to eliminating the payment in lieu of franchise fees for the city utilities. Per the study that was done by FCS Group and the implementation of that via resolution number 3803, these rates for the utilities were set to provide money to support operations plus capital improvements. So the result of re-implementing the payment in lieu of franchise fees is to take around $400,000 out of the various utilities funds on an annual basis. While that certainly helped balance the budget as it related to the general fund during a critical time, it is creating missing dollars in the utility funds. Those franchise fees goes against the recommendation of the FCS group and what the city council originally implemented and will ultimately cause rates to be raised just due to the diversion of business fund dollars into the general fund. At this point, the utility business funds are down by around $800,000 caused by the diversion of these funds for the 2020-2021 and 2021-2022 fiscal years, and the problem will continue to increase by around $400,000 every additional year. Thank you. And I will also note that both public comments are included in the packet, and there are additional comments by Michael Seidel that he did not ask to be read into the record.
And then the second public comment was from Carla Perry, and Carla's asking some specific questions about where funds are accounted for, and we will get a response to Carla Perry. What we'll do as a separate communication to the budget committee, we'll address the issues that Bob raised and these two public comments as a document as part of the budget package that we'll be sending out in April. Any other comments, questions before we conclude? Yeah, Bob?
Yeah, just the same comment I always make. As much time as possible we could have to go over the budget. It's a close to 1,000-page document by the time we get done. And a week is probably adequate, but an extra few days would be very, very helpful. Some of us have very busy schedules. Not me. I've got no life. But a lot of people can barely find time to get through it. And so as much time as we could have, particularly on this first go around, would be greatly appreciated.
No, I appreciate that. And you know, we have really strived to get it out by the date that we have. I do want an appreciation, though, from the Budget Committee that we don't have a finance director. Steve is doing double duty right now. We are short a position in finance. So we're going to do the best job we can to get it out by that date. I can't promise we can get it out much earlier than that because it is a massive process for us to pull this together and to make sure that we're comfortable with the data that we're providing to the Budget Committee as well. So if we get it out a day or two early, we'll get it out a day or two early. I won't count on that day, but we will get it out by the date that we have published in the schedule. So.
Okay, thank you.
I think you said it was April 19th, I think, according to your memo.
Okay, so April 19th is the date that'll go out, and the first meeting then is on the on April 26th.
Okay, all right.
Okay, any other questions or comments or thoughts?
I got a quick one, Spencer.
Yeah,
so,
go ahead, Ryan.
Is there a spot in the proposed budget that shows a list of capital projects that are fundable or funded for this year that weren't completed that are rolling over into this new budget? Or is there a section in there that shows potential funding for capital projects and the expenses of projects that the council's already approved?
Yeah.
Is that list somewhere specific, or can we create a list like that?
No, there is a list that's specific about those projects that are being funded in the next fiscal year. One thing with Oregon budget law, a lot of construction projects end up covering more than one fiscal year, and what we have to do is under Oregon law, we've got to reappropriate those funds as of July 1 of each year. So And we will have a list of those projects that that were previously in the budget that may not have been completed or even started, and whether we're recommending that we carry them over. We'll try to make that as clear as possible. I know our new city engineer, Aaron Collette, is, again, this is his first capital outlay budget. He's got some ideas that I think might help make this a little easier to follow for the for all of us in the budget process. And the other thing that we're doing, we historically have had some projects that have been appropriated, but for a variety of reasons, we haven't been able to move forward with them. And with the wastewater master plan that we're doing for the wastewater treatment plant and some of the other planning we're doing, the general consensus is let's fold those back into the fund balance and then identify those projects based on the master plan that's completed. So there, I think the capital outlay may have a little different look this year, and it may be a shorter list than what we've had before because we want to focus on including those things that we think we can actually fund and actually do in the next year. And that hasn't always been the case, so.
And so on that, I would probably give Aaron Collette 5 stars on Yelp. He's a great asset to the city. As far as the mini street and the other ARPA-funded potential capital improvement projects, would those live in a separate document, or would that be included on that list?
No, they will be included on the list because any of those funds that are carried over into the next fiscal year will be have to be specifically budgeted. So you'll see those in the capital outlay list.
Is that going to include repaving Golf Course Drive?
Damn right.
Yeah, we are working on a variety of issues, including you know the water main issues that are in the budget. So, I think, like I said, I think we're going to be cleaning up and shortening the list of projects that we have to try to more realistically reflect what we can accomplish in the fiscal year.
How would that fall in? Just one more question about the Agate Beach engineered stairway. If we contract that out, you know, so that could get done, do you think that's something we could fund this year?
Yeah, and I think I'm trying to remember if we actually appropriated the funds for the stairway. I think we did it as a supplemental budget.
Yeah, I thought there was something.
Yeah, we'll follow up on that, Ryan. I thought we did a supplemental budget on the stairway.
The citizens of that community are looking forward to that improvement.
Right.
The Agate Beach folk. Yeah.
I'd like to use some of those ARPA funds on Golf Course Drive, down right, Ryan, if you can make that happen. Great.
It was not one of the priorities identified by the council, but anyway.
I give 1/6 of the will of the council to that effort, Dietmar.
Yeah, thank you.
Any other meaningful questions or comments from people? Okay, well, we will see. We'll get a date set for the orientation for the new members, and otherwise, the next time we get together will be on April 26th at 5 p.m. The budget materials, once they're ready, they'll be provided electronically, and we'll be providing a hard copy for those that will request a hard copy about a week prior to the meeting. And I think we've covered everything we need to cover. Unless I missed something, Bob, did I miss anything else? Or Bob?
No, good job, Spencer.
Okay, Bob's a great taskmaster. So anyway, we will see you in the end of April.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks, all. Goodbye.